Stop wasting time searching for deals on the guns and gear you want. Let Gundelio do the work for you. Download Gundelio for free, enable notifications, and start saving. You'll find hot deals, exclusive offers, and more. Trigger the deals. Gundelio.
Hey, this is Tom Gresham. We hope you enjoy this reloaded version.
Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47.
Yeah, buddy, I guarantee you. Hey, welcome again. I'm Tom Gresham. This show is Gun Talk. I'm glad that you could be with us. We're going to be having, well, some fun today. Certainly talk about a lot of interesting things. Talk about your guns. Talk about, range reports, if you've been out doing a little shooting, things that are going on. We also are going to talk about the big story that broke this week. A couple of lawsuits. Actually, now that I think about it, three lawsuits. Two against the NRA, one by the NRA. Wow, a lot of things going on. There's so much happening. We also have a big story coming out of California about selling concealed carry permits in San Jose. Not a surprise when you get a may issue set up, not a shall issue, where the police get to decide who's worthy, then the ability to dole out concealed carry permits becomes valuable. There's a value there. And the folks in the sheriff's department were selling concealed carry permits. We're talking about a lot of money. We're talking about like $90,000 in one case. And the number of permits they would give out in a huge area like that, numbered only in the dozens. Your chances of getting a permit were 14 times greater if you made a donation, quote, quote. We'll get into a good bit of that as we go along. In case you didn't know, in case you've not been paying attention, this week the New York Attorney General's office put forth filed a lawsuit against the NRA, the National Rifle Association. We knew this was in the works. I've talked about it here. We knew this was coming. Letitia James, the Attorney General, when she was running for this office, when she was campaigning, she called the NRA a terrorist organization. And basically said, either literally or close to it, that her goal was to put them out of business, to destroy the NRA. Okay. There are some parts of this that nobody is reporting, and I'll talk about those in a few minutes. There's a lot of people weighing in on this. Tucker Carlson got it wrong. Well, he got part of it right. It was all about, the Attorney General's office, this is like China. They're going after them to shut down political opponents. Let's start off with this. And I'm going to try to give you as much information as I can. I will try to spell out what I know, what I think I know, and then what I am just seeing online. I don't have a lot of firsthand information here. I've been persona non grata at the NRA for some period of time now. That seems to come and go. I can remember 20 years ago when Marion Hammer, I think she was the president then, after I had Neil Knox on, Neil, of course, one of the architects of the 1977 Cincinnati Revolt, the revolution that took over the NRA and made it a political entity. And I had Neil on the radio show, was talking to him. Well, by this point, he had fallen out of favor at the NRA, and Marion Hammer called me after he was on and said, just want to let you know, you are on the NRA shoot list. You will not be getting anything, any contacts. You will have no access to anything at the NRA. Basically, you are dead to us. Marion Hammer, always been a pit bull and still is. By the way, one of the things that came out of the NRA lawsuit that the AG filed, a lot of details about money being spent. And we'll talk a good bit about that because it's important. For those of us who had been donated to the NRA for many, many years, we've known about Wayne's suits, $250,000 for custom-made suits. And as I've joked, he's the only guy who can make a really expensive suit look cheap. But, you know, that's not being fair. It's not being kind. At this point, I just don't care. I am so disgusted with what those guys have been doing. Wayne and his cronies, the guys around him. The numbers, as I was afraid it would be, the numbers are staggering. You know, a lot of us have always known, kind of, that these guys, you know, they're living the high life. Okay, they're staying in nice places. Okay, it's fine. They're executives and all. And honestly, and I will just say, I don't know if it makes me complicit, but a lot of us just said, well, you know, we don't want to talk about that too much. I just don't want to air our dirty laundry. They're doing good work. It's the NRA. And that's true. The NRA does do good work. And we need a good, strong NRA. I was so small-town bumpkin ignorant, unaware of the magnitude of the waste. Some have called it theft. I don't know if it's that. It's just, but the waste, the hubris, the hiding the way that they were getting their money. I'll go into some of that detail as well as we go along here. Why am I going to spend so much time on this? I think it's important. I think it's important to know what they did. I think it's important to know who could have stopped it and didn't. It certainly is important for us to be aware of what is going on and continues to go on. That's the amazing part of it. It continues to go on. As I say, the hubris of saying, yes, it's okay for us to spend $50,000 for an airline flight to the Bahamas over and over and over again from Virginia by way of Nebraska. Wait, you're saying, wait, let me get my map out. How do you go from D.C. to the Bahamas by way of Nebraska? Well, that's where Lapierre's niece lives, according to the lawsuit. He had to pick her up and take her to Nebraska all the time and family members. And sometimes just fly her when Lapierre wasn't even going. $50,000 or more sometimes. Private jets to go stay on a 108-foot yacht, which, oh, yes, was owned by one of the vendors. So, we'll give you $60 million a year or some sort like that. And we're going to get to go stay on your yacht. We're going to spend hundreds of thousands. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. Silly small town me. We're going to spend millions of dollars on these kinds of activities. Dollars that were given by people spending $35 a year for their membership, wanting it to be used to fight for the Second Amendment, for gun rights, for the Bill of Rights, for our American way. $4,000 a month for a cigar bar? Is that what I read? Holy cow. It just went on and on. It's unbelievable. Now, here's the thing. Several things can be true at the same time. Hold on to that thought. It is absolutely true that the lawsuit by New York Attorney General is an overreach. It is a completely political move. Understand that, okay? And honestly, and because she's seeking to dissolve the NRA, that may well end up being such an overreach that it doesn't work, okay? But they have deposed a lot of people. And what we found out is there were a number of whistleblowers in the top ranks of the staff of the NRA that were trying to, internally, to get things changed. They were going to the right people internally. A lot of them got closed out, got shut down. And people on the board who tried to bring it up got moved off of important committees where they would have access to information. You're done. You just sit over and shut up. Maybe we'll get to you, maybe not. But you're not going to be on any important committees. You're certainly not going to get any of these lucrative consulting gigs that we hand out to the right members of the board. So there were some that were really working on this, and frankly, they ended up feeding information to the Attorney General's office. So, okay, so several things at work. Several things can be true at the same time. It is true that this is a political lawsuit. It is true, in my view, that it's an overreach. It's true that Letitia James, the Attorney General, wants to put the NRA out of business. She said so before she got elected, before she saw any evidence, before she did any research, before they did any investigations. And that's kind of what the NRA's countersuit says, is, hey, you've been out to get us all along. So there's nothing to this. Well, no, wait. It may be true that she's been out to get you all along, but that doesn't mean there's nothing to this. It's not even just that two things can be wrong at the same time. Many things can be right, that is. Many things can be true at the same time. The lawsuit is almost 200 pages. I've spent hours and hours and hours reading it. If I sound upset about it, it's because I am. I got up again this morning at 5, started reading it again, kept going through it. I have linked to it on Twitter. If you follow me on Twitter, I'm at Gun Talk. You can find the link. You can download it. You can read it yourself. Make up your own mind. Make your own decision about the whole thing. It is disturbing what they have been doing. I just had no idea the magnitude of it all. And I will tell you, I don't think originally it was, and this is just me guessing, okay? I don't have any inside info on this. I don't think it was LaPierre's creation. If I had to guess, I would guess it probably was, may have come out of the Ackerman McQueen ad agency, which ended up being eventually the group that ran the NRA. At least it looks like it. And according to the lawsuit, if those documents are true, if what they're saying is true, what would happen would be there would be these lavish expenses, incredible expenses. And Ackerman McQueen, the ad agency, would pay for them, use their credit cards and pay for them. And then they would bill it back to the NRA, but do it in such a way that it was basically kind of almost like a single line item, miscellaneous expenses or something. I don't know. Was that to hide what was actually going on? Don't know. It would be a good way to do it if that's what was happening. Ackerman McQueen, I think year before last, got paid $40 million. Dollars from the NRA, and that doesn't include all this other stuff that was going on. There was the $6.5 million house that was set up to be purchased for LaPierre and his wife, according to the documents. May have been the straw that broke the camel's back and ended up splitting up ACMAC from the NRA. Maybe there was a point where they said, you know, even we won't go that far. I would love to know what that conversation was like. There's something else going on here. People have been writing about this. And as I say, Tucker Carlson, I think, got it mostly wrong. A lot of the people who are defending the NRA have gotten a lot of it wrong. Some of the people castigating the NRA have got part of it right, part of it wrong. But in none of the stories I've seen, none of them, have they identified how this actually really came about. Who really made this happen? Who is at the core of this entire thing of revealing all this information? I'm going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I'm going to tell you who is really responsible for the whole deal. Our number here is 866-TALK-GUN. I'm Tom Gresham. We'll be right back.
For 25 years, Crimson Trace has led the industry in laser and light technology and customer service. Now, Crimson Trace is proud to offer electronic sights and rifle scopes for tactical, target, and hunting applications with the same Crimson Trace offer of free batteries for life on all products. The new rifle scope line is also backed by an unconditional lifetime warranty from the brand that you have trusted for over two decades. Find out more at CrimsonTrace.com.
Out here in America, we're proud of our values. Your job, your vote, your country, your right to protect your family. Now more than ever, our rights must be protected. But anti-gun politicians want to shut us down. Community by community, they want to ignore the Constitution. We can't let them take our rights away. There's too much at stake this election. Register to vote at gunvote.org. Protect your right to protect yourself.
Introducing the all-new St. Victor from Springfield Armory. Our versatile line of battle-ready configurations designed for serious shooters and built on the rock-solid St. platform for unwavering reliability. Available in carbine-length rifle, SBR, and pistol configurations, each St. Victor is purpose-built and loaded with features to deliver ultimate performance under extreme conditions. The all-new St. Victor from Springfield Armory. Never a victim. Always the victor.
Back with the 866 Talk Gun. I know that there are a lot of opinions out there about the NRA. A lot of people, NRA members, who are disgusted with them. Still, no, that's not true. That's not true. They're not disgusted with the NRA. They're disgusted with the leadership. And a lot of people, I mean, talking about a lot of people, have said, I'm just not going to send them any more money until LaPierre and his gang are gone. At the same time, the NRA says, well, donations have never been higher. Once again, two things can be true. They certainly have been able to use the New York Attorney General's lawsuit and investigation to their advantage to drum up contributions, donations. This goes way back. They've been doing this forever, but it goes way back to a program that was created, I'm told, by Angus McQueen of Ackerman McQueen. He was the genius, I was tempted to say evil genius, but genius who created a lot of the programs, a lot of the fundraising things, created a program they called internally Managed Controversy. Say something outrageous and you get a lot of attention. When you feel as though you're kind of being ignored by the media, you come out and say something like jackbooted thugs. You say, and none of that's a slip of the tongue, it's all orchestrated. I often believed for a long, long time that Wayne didn't say anything that Angus McQueen didn't write for him. So you have this managed controversy idea, and they use, obviously, as do a lot of advocacy groups, they have to gin up the troops, get them angry, and that's how you get money out of them. So they've been able to do that. So this lawsuit, weirdly, has been good for them financially. Some people say, well, the NRA is broke. Well, maybe. There is, of course, the NRA, PAC, Political Action Committee. They have a lot of money, and I'm told that they're going to be releasing a lot of it after Labor Day, which is good because we need the NRA to be involved in this election. Okay, so we've got the Attorney General's lawsuit. You also have the lawsuit by Washington, D.C., which was filed the same day, against the NRA Foundation, alleging that money is being moved from the foundation to the general operations of NRA, which is not allowed. At least that's what I understand. We'll see. How did all this come about? That's what nobody's talking about. Who's behind the whole thing? Because it almost appears, if you haven't been paying attention, it appears as though this thing just popped up out of nowhere. It didn't pop up out of nowhere. It came from Michael Bloomberg. And nope, you haven't seen his name on anything, have you? But some 10 years ago, he decided he would spend millions, tens of millions of dollars on this. He has the money to spend. Billion. He said, I'd spend $1 billion if I had to. He created the leading gun control groups in the U.S. He made handgun control basically disappear. He made the Brady Group basically disappear. He's dwarfed them with the groups that he created, the AstroTurf groups, the Moms Demand Action, Everytown for Gun Safety. But more than that, and here's where we really get to, this is what really happened here. He created something called the Trace. It's a quasi-phony journalism group, a media group. He has the money. He hired very good investigative reporters, and he turned them loose on the NRA. And so for years, they have been digging, and they've been uncovering the stuff that's going on there. And, you know, people say, well, is it true? I can't tell you that it's true. I believe that almost all of the allegations against Wayne and his cronies are true. I do believe that to be the case. But the reason, and look, they made it attractive to come after them. The greed, the hubris, I don't know if it qualifies as corruption. That's a whole different deal. They made it attractive to come after them. This feeling that they were invincible. We've been getting away with it for so long. And so these reporters just kept digging and kept digging and kept digging and uncovering things and publishing things. And it's like peeling the onion. You kept finding out more and you kept finding out more. And you go, holy cow, you know, $250,000 in suits, you know, private jets everywhere. Not just for Wayne, but for people around him, for family members. Even when he wasn't traveling, he would fly his family members around, whether it's on a vacation for a shopping trip or whatever. You're talking $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 for these flights. The trace uncovered all of that. And that's what attracted the attention of the AG. So when you're looking at what actually happened here, who did what? It's my belief that all this came about because of Michael Bloomberg's money. And I said 10 years ago, that's the sea change in the gun rights and gun control movement. When he came in with that kind of money, everything changed. Nobody's reporting on that. My view, I think that's what happened. I've been following it closely for all this time. Just my thoughts on it. It's a damn mess is what it is. And it's a mess of their own making. Because they thought they couldn't be touched, because they thought they were better than us, and they thought it was absolutely okay to take your money, to take our money, and give themselves these lavish trips, these incredible vacations, treatment that they've been doing. They've been using our money for that instead of fighting for the Second Amendment. It makes me mad. It makes me mad as hell. 866-TALK-GUN. I'm Tom Gresham. This is Gun Talk.
Welcome back to Tom Gresham's Gun Talk. You're listening to a Reloaded Gun Talk.
Tom Gresham, I mentioned earlier the story come out of Santa Clara County in California. That's the Bay Area where they basically were selling the concealed carry permits, concealed carry licenses. If I'd run the numbers right, if you weren't making a donation to the sheriff, or weren't paying somebody off, you had about an 8% chance of your application being approved. If you're paying them off, you get about 70% chance of that. It just, you know, and it invites abuse. If you have a may issue, are you worthy to get a carry permit? Then there's demand and it makes it possible for having more abuse out there. All right. 866-TALK-GUN will get you in here, or just call it Tom Talk Gun. Talking about the lawsuits, three of them filed this week, one by the New York Attorney General's office against the NRA, seeking to dissolve the NRA completely and hold several of the principals there financially responsible, one by the District of Columbia, that's about the NRA's foundation, if I remember right, then one filed by the NRA suing the New York Attorney General's office, saying, you've always been out to get us and you're a big blue meanie, or something like that. Joining me right now, a keen observer of all of this, and maybe with a different take on it, Alan Gottlieb from the Second Amendment Foundation. Alan, quite a week, huh?
Yeah, not exactly a great week for news for gun rights with these lawsuits and all the dirty laundry being aired in public. You know, Tom, I walked into the office, the day these suits were filed, and there are already over 50 media requests for comments from me about it. Right. Not a way you like to start your day.
No, it's not. And you mentioned, you know, the dirty laundry. The reality is some of us have known some of these things for a long time. We said, you know, okay, they're going to live lavishly, but let's not make a big deal out of it. They're doing good work. I don't think any of us had an idea, assuming that what they're saying in the AG's lawsuit is correct, I don't think any of us had an idea of the magnitude of the abuse.
Well, maybe not up until like the last 18 months when a lot of it sort of come out in the press and from former NRA directors as well.
Right.
But like my statement to the press this week was, you know, I firmly believe that you're innocent until proven guilty. But it's also my belief that the NRA board of directors should have taken action when these allegations were first raised and preempted any action that could have been taken by the New York State Attorney General or the Attorney General of Washington, D.C. I mean, while there's no doubt, like the NRA has said, that both these attorney generals are opponents of the Second Amendment rights and have a very sharpened axe to grind, and these are serious allegations that have not been put to bed by the leadership of the NRA over the last several, you know, years for that matter.
Right.
Fortunately for the gun rights movement, the strength of the NRA is not only in its leadership, but also in its members. And its members will not abandon the fight to protect Second Amendment rights, despite the fact that some of the enemies and people who filed these suits would like to see that happen. But, you know, let me, if I can, just filibuster here for just a second.
You bet. Go for it.
I've read every word of all these complaints, all three of them.
Okay.
And there's no doubt in my mind that the New York Attorney General has surely overreached by asking for the NRA to be dissolved. And she's not going to get that. Now, did she do it because she's, you know, so vehemently anti-gun rights and anti-NRA that she's blinded by her own rhetoric?
Mm-hmm.
Or did she do it as a bargaining chip, figuring that the NRA has a risk with this, and so maybe now they'll just, you know, come down and admit to some of the other stuff and not be dissolved? My feeling is no judge is going to dissolve the NRA. I think what's going to happen, though, is you're going to see a judge at this juncture, since the NRA board has not taken actions to really address this situation.
Mm-hmm.
I think what you're going to see is a judge saying, okay, I remove the NRA board and order new elections for the board and no current director can serve and give it back to the NRA membership.
Let me ask you a quick question on that. Would it be one other option would be dissolve the board and then a judge puts in his own board, his or her own board?
No, I don't think that will happen. I think the judge will take a look at the NRA's Articles of Incorporation and bylaws and say there is a mechanism for the members to decide who their board members are going to be. And he might put in, you know, somebody in as a special master to ensure that there's a fair election. But I don't think any court is going to go beyond that.
Okay.
That doesn't mean, though, that the four other principals of the NRA who have been charged with wrongdoing are still not at risk. The judge would surely come down on them. You know, I've been asked, you know, to obviously over the last 18 months when all these charges have really been public, to really defend the NRA against some of these charges. And Tom, in all honesty, I would love to do that for a couple reasons. One, you know, being a principal and a couple other gun rights groups, I don't want to make it look like I'm saying anything negative or nasty about the NRA for the benefit of the groups I work with. And not only that, but Wayne LaPierre and others there have been friends of mine for years and years and years. And so I'd love to defend them, but nobody has given a defense of the actual charges that anybody can obviously use. You know, they haven't given it to other gun rights groups to help defend them. They haven't given it to their own state affiliates to defend them, which makes it very difficult to disprove any of the allegations that have been made. And quite frankly, all I've heard is that, you know, okay, the allegations are sort of true. All those documents and checks were written, but we have justification. You know, it was in the NRA's interest to write all those checks.
Mm-hmm.
However, no real justification has ever really been given to anybody. And I think the NRA, unfortunately, because it affects all of us, is in a world of hurt on this. And I just don't think that it was really handled very well from the very, very beginning in how to resolve the accusations and complaints. And, you know, there's no doubt the NRA has circled the wagons, fired key staff, got rid of key directors. 10 directors over the last year have resigned from the board, and I don't think they just did it because they didn't think anything was there.
Let me say, the reason they resigned is because they were trying to fix things, and they got shut out, and they finally said, well, I'm just not going to be a part of this. If you're not going to allow us to work on it, I'm out of here.
Yeah, and some of those directors have talked with me and said, you know, Alan, I asked for some financial documents, and as a director, they wouldn't give them to me.
Right. People say, well, why didn't the board do something? Some of them tried to, and I'm just going to say this. This is not you. This is me talking. I think there were enough people on the board who had the consulting gigs and the contracts and were making money, and they were basically getting paid somehow, some way through the NRA to be on Wayne's side, and there were enough of them that basically protected him. That's my take.
Well, there's also some, I think, in all honesty, that, you know, trusted leadership but didn't verify. You know, and then there are things that stick out there, quite frankly, like, you know, a $17 million exit agreement for Wayne LaPierre if he's fired, even for cause. It just doesn't smell right.
I haven't even mentioned that. Yeah, that's part of the deal. The numbers, and this was not, by the way, voted on by the board. This was a deal that Wayne just worked up with a couple of the people who worked for him. They all signed off on it and gave him this incredible golden parachute.
Now, in a deposition that Wayne took, he gave the explanation for this was that this was worked out and done because the NRA wanted to protect his name and likeness so that nobody else could use it in the future.
Yeah,
if he left.
I liked it, and his signature. He said, "Yeah, I got to protect my signature." What?
You know, and is that worth $17 million to the NRA? I have a hard feeling. It's hard for me to believe that a judge is going to say yes to that. This is just a mess for all of us. And you know, and then again, it doesn't come at a good time before the 2020 elections.
Yeah. And let me take a quick break here because I want to talk about where does that leave us as we head toward the election, which is less than 90 days away. We're talking with Alan Gottlieb from the Second Amendment Foundation. As you can tell, when he and I are both talking, we are not happy. It's distressing. It's upsetting. And it's just not good for the gun rights movement. We will get through all of this, but it's just going to be a mess for a while. Be right back.
The Ruger pistol that started it all is now even better. The Ruger Mark IV has the same great look as the Mark III, but now its simple one-button takedown means less time taking apart your gun and more time shooting it. Disassemble it in seconds for no-hassle cleaning. Learn more about the Target, Hunter, and 22-45 Light Mark IV series models at Ruger.com. The Ruger Mark IV, another rugged, reliable firearm from Ruger.
Mental health and guns. At Walk the Talk America, we are working with both the mental health community and the gun industry. Created by a gun industry veteran, Walk the Talk America seeks to raise awareness and create change through suicide prevention and firearm safety without legislation. We strive to eliminate the prejudice that firearms and mental health face. For more information and to support Walk the Talk America, please visit walkthetalkamerica.org.
Are you looking for a place to shoot? The National Shooting Sports Foundation has a great website called wheretoshoot.org. It's the largest database of shooting ranges on the internet. It's also a great resource for shooters where you can find video tips, printable targets, and a lot more. Find it online at wheretoshoot.org. And while you're there, download their free iPhone app. That's wheretoshoot.org.
We're talking with Alan Gottlieb from the Second Amendment Foundation. The news that broke this week, three lawsuits, one filed by the New York Attorney General's office against the NRA, one filed by the D.C. Attorney General against the NRA, and then one filed by the NRA against the New York Attorney General's office. It's back and forth, but a lot of, in this, I don't know, almost 200-page lawsuit from the New York Attorney General's office, I've been reading that. A lot of details there, a lot of dollar amounts, and the methods by which they, and I'm just going to say it, it certainly appears they were just hiding the fact of how much money was being spent. There's no other reason I can think of for the circuitous way that the money was moved around. That's me talking. It's not Alan Gottlieb from the Second Amendment Foundation. But, Alan, I know you're getting hammered by the media on this thing, and we're now less than 90 days away from this election. And people are saying, well, what's that going to mean for gun owners being a part of this and basically having an impact on the election?
Well, if we talk about the election, I'm not so concerned about that because, like I said earlier, the NRA members are the strength of the NRA, and they're going to be out there working for candidates, and they are doing it right now in record numbers. And, of course, the NRA's money that it donates to candidates or gets involved in the election cycle goes to the NRA Political Victory Fund, NRA PVF. which is sitting on several millions of dollars in cash right now and more money coming in every day. And I believe that money is going to get spent.
Good.
I'm not that concerned about that. But the concern is, to the general public, how much influence NRA spending is going to have when they're right now image is pretty well tanked and the brand, you know, has been hurt. That doesn't help any of us. And again, none of this, Tom, would have really all happened. A lot of this all came out through various other lawsuits that NRA has been engaged in with past employees and officers and other vendors. And they never should have been airing that dirty laundry in public to begin with, because that's what gave the attorney generals all the information to be able to start their investigations. And this is not going to end now either, because, you know, the NRA, as a charitable organization, has to file statements in every single state. And what's going to happen now is all those states are going to come back to the NRA with all kinds of questions based upon the fact that New York says the filings in New York were fraudulent. They're going to come back and then start to say the NRA either proved they're not fraudulent or you can't fundraise or participate in activities in our state. And then, of course, the New York Attorney General also gave all this stuff to the Internal Revenue Service, who I believe had already been looking at it from information from other NRA officers that have talked and key people that have talked with me over the last year, that, you know, the NRA and its official tax statuses could also be at jeopardy by the IRS, you know, and Justice Department suing them on behalf of the IRS. So this could just be the tip of the iceberg of future litigation, and gun owners need to be aware of that. This is not going to go away. It's very ugly. It's going to be very, very messy. And quite frankly, you know, it should have been addressed already so that all of us had the ammunition and information to defend the NRA if indeed these charges and allegations are false. And again, I'm going to say, you know, I believe you're innocent until proven guilty. But again, management of the NRA has not given us the tools to help defend them.
You know, I was talking to somebody who was on the board 25 years ago. And the reason I bring it up is because he said 25 years ago, we went to the NRA attorney and said, we need to move the NRA's charter out of New York and we'll move it to someplace like Idaho, which is better. They said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, have you read the New York not-for-profit laws and what New York could do to us? They go, oh, no, it's not a big deal. He said, you know, I haven't looked at it, but don't worry about it. So it's okay. The hubris goes all the way back then. You know, in business, we talk about doing your SWOT analysis, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. If you haven't looked at the threats and what could actually hurt you, what could actually shut you down, then you're just not doing your job. And that appears to be what was going on here.
Maybe you're right, but let me also say New York's laws for nonprofits are some of the worst in the country. There's no doubt about that. But one of the provisions in New York, which makes it a little difficult, which is something I understand the NRA attorneys back then were looking at, is the fact that you can't just dissolve in New York and move to another state. You have to get permission from New York to dissolve.
No.
Okay, and so the attorneys back then felt that it would be a long battle and fight to get permission from New York State to dissolve. A lot of people aren't aware of the fact that when the NRA first started and incorporated in New York, the reason why they did it was New York State gave the NRA a $25,000 grant to build a gun range in Creedmoor, Long Island, to be used to help train not only civilians but the New York National Guard.
Wow!
And so New York had a vested interest in money into the NRA way back when. A lot of people don't know the history in this, so it may not have been so easy for the NRA to get New York to say, okay, you can dissolve.
Okay, yeah, I was not aware of that. Wow.
Okay, and of course, you can't just take your assets from the corporation and move them to a new corporation without dissolving first or getting the permission from New York, in their case, to dissolve. So I may be wrong about the New York provision about that you need their permission to dissolve, but I don't think so, because if that weren't the case, the NRA last year could have still just moved, and they didn't.
Good point. Hey, Alan, hold on just a second here. We're going to take another quick break here. We're coming back. We're talking with Alan Gottlieb from the Second Amendment Foundation. We're going to give him the last word when we come back. The story that broke huge this week is the lawsuits by the New York Attorney General's Office, Washington, D.C., against the NRA, seeking to dissolve the NRA. We don't think it's going to happen. You're an NRA member, I hope. What's your take? 866-TALK-GUN. All right, we're back. Talking with Alan Gottlieb from the Second Amendment Foundation. Alan, I know there are some who say, well, gee, you know, you've got a competing gun rights group. Surely you're happy about this thing with the NRA. I'm just going to toss you that big softball.
Well, I don't know if it's a softball or not, Tom.
Well, but, you know, you and I both know that nobody in the gun rights movement is happy with this.
No, not happy with what may have transpired at NRA, not happy with some of the attacks on NRA. There's no doubt about that. You know, we at the foundation, there's no doubt we have picked up some support from former NRA members that want to stay in the battle for the gun rights. Mm-hmm. But right now, you know, are a little gun shy in supporting NRA based on the charges. But we've also picked up where we've had donors to us that have now stopped donating because they can't trust anybody in their mind.
Sure.
And so we've also lost support because of what's happening at the NRA. So it cuts two ways to every gun rights group in the whole movement. So we all have a vested interest, like it or not. And I've always had a reputation in the media of being very candid and open and never saying no to an interview. And so it's been really tough on me this week because I don't want to, quote-unquote, badmouth the NRA or do anything that might hurt them.
Right.
But likewise, I got to be open and candid and honest because my credibility with the media is what gives me my currency to defend gun rights, you know, across multiple platforms.
Right. So, you know, as you look at this, I mean, I know this is a moving target, moving picture right now. Where are we? What happens? And, you know, as we're looking toward this less than 90 days for the election, I mean, can you put it in perspective for us for a minute or two?
Well, nothing is going to happen before the election with these lawsuits because it takes time for this to go on. So it's going to happen after the election is over. And my concerns there as well is that, you know, New York had limited discovery against NRA in being able to put their complaint together. Now that it's filed, they have virtually unlimited discovery. And every single check the NRA has written is going to be in the New York Attorney General's hands, in the hands of our enemies. This is not good for the NRA or for the rest of us.
Yeah, excellent point. And, you know, there's no real incentive for them to make it go fast. They could just drag it on forever and, you know, keep digging.
And well, and also, Tom, in all honesty, the NRA is probably going to drag it on forever and ever as well. And of course, they've already been bled for legal fees already on these things substantially over the last year. And when the NRA's attorney is billing at $1,200 an hour, which is four times what the Second Amendment Foundation pays our attorneys to do our Second Amendment rights litigation, you know, that money goes pretty fast.
Let me put a number on that. They spent more than $50 million on their outside attorney in this year, just in the last 12 months.
And that didn't go to defending gun rights. And, of course, you know, we have been partnering with the NRA on litigation, you know, defending gun rights in the courts this year in a number of lawsuits in a number of states. And I hate to see the NRA have to, you know, back away from some litigation they're actually working on with the Second Amendment Foundation. So, I mean, my interests are keeping the NRA strong and well-funded.
Yeah, and that's $50 million that could have gone to litigation, to winning a lot of these lawsuits or paying for attorneys instead of paying for attorneys to defend the top dogs at the NRA, which is, in my view, that's what's going on. Alan, we'll be talking about this as we go along. I don't want to drag it out, but just it is here. We had to talk about it. I appreciate you spending some time and being so candid with us.
My pleasure, Tom. I wish I didn't have to be so candid, but I feel like I do. Thank you.
I hear you. I appreciate you. You take care. There it is. I mean, it's what we have right now. I'm not sure where you fall on this thing. If you'd like to weigh in on it, let me know. Also, of course, we do have this election coming up. I want to talk a little bit about getting out the vote and getting people registered to vote. And we'll be talking with somebody who just said, okay, I can do something about this, and has an idea and a plan that, frankly, any of us can use, any gun store, any shooting range, anything out there. We're going to be talking about activism. It's that old, okay, so this is a mess. What can I do? Well, there are things you can do. There are things that we can do, and we're doing it. But stay tuned. We're going to tell you how you could get involved, how you can help. Tom Gresham here. This is Gun Talk.